It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And they're having a good day. I'm having a good day, too. It was called No Collusion, No Obstruction. I'm having a good day. There never was, by the way, and there never will be. And we do have to get to the bottom of these things, I will say. And this should never happen. I say this in front of my friends, wounded warriors, and I just call them warriors because we just shook hands and they look great. They look so good, so beautiful. But I say it in front of my friends, this should never happen to another president again. This hoax, this should never happen to another president again. Thank you.
That was the President of the United States, his first statements after the Mueller report came out on Thursday, and Bill Barr made the announcement and released the report. It was a stunning day, and we're going to talk about it in just a few minutes. But yesterday, of course, was Easter. I hope that you had a wonderful Easter celebration wherever you were. I have to say, my heart longs for more. My heart just longs for more. I just want there to be more. I want there to be more celebration. I want there to be a more powerful celebration. I want the world to hear more about it than sometimes I sense, but still, it was Easter. And I think, you know, I always think of the scripture that says that if we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. And so my heart is longing to just praise him so the rocks don't have to do that and we can praise him. I hope that you did that in your churches and your homes, that you honored him, that you reached out to your neighbors, that you spread the message of the good news, and the resurrection is the key turning point event. It is the make or break moment. Christmas is something we celebrate because we want to. It's sort of a man-made celebration. It's not laid down in scripture. We don't even know exactly when Jesus' birth was, but Easter, the resurrection is the everything rests on whether Jesus was raised from the dead. If he, as Paul says, if he wasn't, we're among all men most miserable. We are fools. We're crazy. There's nothing to this if Jesus was not raised from the dead. But we know that he was from lots of sources and historical accounts. And because us men were willing to give their lives, they went to their death with that alleged lie. If it was a lie, they were killed holding to a lie. And that's actually not very common. I read a little blurb from Chuck Colson. Of course, Chuck is long gone, but he said the reason that he became a Christian in prison was Watergate. And when he talked about it, he said, because I saw men one by one who had stood by the president caving, turning, coming out because they were covering up something, and they did not hold fast to it. They couldn't even hold fast to that. And so when I read about all these men, these disciples, all of them but one, being brutally murdered, I can't imagine them holding that, or martyred, not just murdered. They were given the choice of life, and they chose death because they would not recant. If it weren't true, they would have recanted. And so we know that the resurrection is true, and we most of all can say that because of what Jesus has done in our lives. So that was yesterday, and while we were enjoying our various Easter celebrations, the folks in Sri Lanka were experiencing a brutal attack from Islamists. And as a matter of fact, I think we have a clip on this. We're having a little bit of technical problem this morning. We don't yet. Okay, so I'm just going to tell you that Sri Lanka, in many of their churches yesterday, 7 different Islamic participants killed at least 290 and injured more than 500, 7 suicide bombers. And the local militant network is called National Tawfiq Jamaath. The experts say it looks as if their plan of attack came right out of the book of ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the global militant jihadist playbook. All the bombers were Sri Lankan citizens, but authorities suspect some foreign links, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more about that. But can you imagine if you had been at your church? We can kind of imagine now, can't we? Because America is not that far from these attacks. We've had some of them, not to this extent, but we certainly know what it's like. And so our hearts grieve for the people of Sri Lanka who now this morning must pick up the pieces of their broken lives, come to some sort of resolution about the people and their families that have been killed, and get over the traumatic experience of being in a situation where they're worshiping and having some suicide bomber come in and talk about violation. And now, of course, there are those that wanted to politicize this, and they did. And a BuzzFeed new world editor, what's her name? Her name is Mary Melder. This is what she tweeted. Suspect we'd be hearing a lot more outrage from Trump and company if the Christians killed in Sri Lanka were white. Okay, so she's responding to President Trump's earlier tweet. 138 people have been killed, and this is the earlier report. 138 people have been killed in Sri Lanka, with more than 600 badly injured in a terrorist attack on churches and hotels. The United States offers heartfelt condolences to the great people of Sri Lanka. We stand ready to help. And yet BuzzFeed's writer Mary Melder says, suspect we'd be hearing a lot more outrage from Trump and company if the Christians killed in Sri Lanka were white. And that takes us to our discussion today, because I actually want us to dig into what happened last Thursday with the Mueller report and the fallout over the weekend. I'm confident you've been watching a lot of it. You've heard a lot of it, but I want us to talk about it today. I'm going to play a lot of clips if we can get our technical worked out. We're going to be playing a lot of clips of different people's responses, and I'm going to give you, of course, my particular view on this thing. The president, of course, came. He was speaking at a Wounded Warriors gathering right after William Barr came out and made his statement. William Barr's statement was amazing. Did you see that? I mean, honestly, I wish I could play the whole thing. There were a lot of things this morning. I wish I could play the whole thing for you, but in fact, let's put that on our Facebook page, the entire William Barr press conference, because it was so powerful. The man is very measured. He's very impressive in his understatement. I will never be able to do that. I think I will never be understated about anything, but he was understated and yet spoke powerful words. And this is just a part of it. This was A.G. Barr saying what he said on Thursday. Here it is.
As you know, one of the primary purposes of the special counsel's investigation was to determine whether President Trump's campaign or any individual associated with it conspired or coordinated with the Russian government to interfere in the 2016 election. Volume 1 of the special counsel's report describes the results of that investigation. As you will see, the special counsel's report states that his, quote, investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities.
Yeah, so that's volume one. There were two volumes, 448 pages. I read another place it was 480 pages, so I don't know. I'm sure it was the same amount, just different reporting. 450 at least pages, two different parts. The first part, as William Barr just said, found that there was absolutely no collusion. Just there was no collusion. And they tried every which way from Sunday. They investigated Carter Page. They investigated George Papadopoulos. They ruined General Flynn's life. They tried to ruin Senator Sessions, and then who turned Attorney General Sessions, because he had met with the Russian ambassador in his office in the course of his duties as a senator. And so they twisted that. They said he lied under oath. And so on and on it goes. They tried every possible angle they could to prove that the president was guilty of colluding with Russia. And of course, if we know anything about President Trump, I think even his enemies would be hard-pressed to show that President Trump does not love his country. I mean, his theme, you know, of his campaign, the one they hate, is Make America Great Again. He talks about this country all the time. If you go back to tapes in his earlier life, he talks about how much he loves this country, how patriotic, how he loves it. And so just the whole notion that he would then conspire with Russia to defeat Hillary Clinton is bizarre beyond words. And yet they took this tabloid rag of a work, which they knew was fake and phony, which I knew was fake and phony from the minute I read it. I have to say this again. I read parts of that to you when it first came out, and I said to you, this is ridiculous. It can't be true. It's not written in a way that is even persuasive. You know it's not true. It's like you, because common sense, the way it's written, it's just silly. It was silly stuff. And these serious law enforcement professionals and Justice Department professionals wanted us to believe that they believed this. They presented it to the FISA court as an excuse for then beginning to surveil members of the Trump campaign and ruined people's lives on the basis of it. And by the way, the irony is in this particular report, they hardly mention the dossier. They never use the word dossier. They don't talk about Christopher Steele, who prepared the dossier. In fact, they don't talk when it comes to Russian collusion. They never explore how did it happen that the Democratic candidate, Hillary Clinton, hired Fusion GPS, who then did work with the Russians to create this piece, this rag, which was intended to destroy Donald Trump, the candidate, and later Donald Trump, the president. It was Hillary Clinton's campaign who colluded with the Russians. And that's never explored in this. And that's why the inspector general, who is coming out with his report, I think soon, maybe the end of this month, I'm not sure, is supposed to be exploring that, and why the attorney general, Bob Barr, is saying now this is being explored. How did this start? How did we get to this point? There's a lot to say about this. The second part, of course, is about obstruction. Obstruction of justice. And you remember famously, William Barr said when he talked about this, when he first got the report before it was made public, Thursday was the day it was made public. William Barr has been reading it for the last 2 weeks, and he showed it to the president. Rudy Giuliani and his team read it, which there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. It is an executive document. It does relate to the president. He has every right to see what's going to be made public. And the attorneys around him made no demands to redact anything. They just simply had access so they knew what was coming out before it came out. And in that second part where obstruction, the special counsel basically said, while we don't find, enough points, evidence, whatever, to charge obstruction, we still don't exonerate the president. And of course, Kimberly Strassel says, and she's right, this was Bob Mueller's James Comey moment. Remember when James Comey came out and decided he would exonerate Hillary Clinton and said, although she did some things she shouldn't have done, we're gonna let her off. And that was not his job. The job of law enforcement and the FBI is to bring the evidence, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. It's the Justice Department that is tasked with making a decision on whether to prosecute, what charges to bring. It is not the prosecutor. It is not the law enforcement, not the FBI. And that's what Comey did. That's what was so controversial. That's one of the reasons he was removed from office. And now here is Robert Mueller coming out to do the same thing. We don't have enough evidence, but that doesn't mean he's not guilty. They lay out 10 different things. And of course, we know now that what they did in that second report was lay the ground to hand this all over so that the House could take it up and create some sort of impeachment process through all the information they gathered over these last 2 years with this, $35 million with these massive amounts of subpoenas, with all the lives they've destroyed and all the people's privacy they have invaded without cause, the Fifth Amendment right to privacy completely abridged for no reason, for no criminal conduct other than the fact they wanted revenge on the firing of Comey. That's what I think. I totally believe this, that Bob Mueller was seeking revenge for his buddy Comey, and also to justify his former agency, the FBI, because they'd taken quite a hit during this. So Kim Strassel says this whole thing reads pretty much like a defense of the FBI. There's more to say, and we're going to say it, so stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Eighty percent of the time, an abortion-minded mother who views an ultrasound or sonogram of her baby will choose life. Here's the story of Candace.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
There are currently preborn centers which do not have an ultrasound machine. Would you sponsor a machine today? Dial pound 250 and say keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment each day to pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for U.S. Attorney General William Barr. With today's release of the Mueller report to Congress, Mr. Barr faces a heightened level of pressure to deliver justice and transparency. Isaiah 61:8 reminds us of the importance of justice. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to lift up and bless Attorney General Barr as he faces scrutiny and pressure in his job. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
The New York Yankees strike out. That story next.
Truett McConnell University.
Hey, my name is Aaron Abbs. I am an undecided major, and I'm a freshman here at TME. And as soon as I came here, I fell in love with the campus. Like, I knew, like, God was calling me to be here at TME. And, you know, I couldn't get a better education than this. Like, professors who pray before class, who care about your spiritual walk with Christ. You are who you are, and they care about you.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Back in 1939, Kate Smith recorded a stirring rendition of God Bless America. It later became a mainstay of the seventh inning stretch at Yankee Stadium. The Philadelphia Flyers have been playing her rendition since 1969. There's even a statue of the famed singer outside the arena. But that could change. The Yankees and the Flyers say they will no longer play the song, and Kate Smith's statue has been covered up. It seems Miss Smith recorded other songs of the 1930s that are now considered racist. The singer died in 1986, so she is unable to defend herself. The Yankees said they take social, racial, and cultural insensitivity seriously. They say they have not reached a final decision on Kate Smith's rendition, but they decided to err on the side of sensitivity. And by sensitivity, they mean political correctness. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
This whole appointment of Barr and his report have been played by Donald Trump to protect himself from the truth. It's the truth that the American people paid for, that Bob Mueller and his team have come up with and ferreted out with 2 years worth of investigations. They don't want to see the truth come to light. And Barr took the job to be the hitman, the Roy Cohn, to cover it up. And he's been doing it. And tomorrow he's setting the stage. He set the stage 3 weeks ago with a 4-page quote-unquote summary, really 3.5 pages, saying no obstruction and no conspiracy without killing Bob Mueller talk. Then he took 3 weeks, which was absolutely unnecessary, to let that get into the public's mind for the president. Then, knowing that the report was going to be worse than he would like, to attack the report, to attack Bob Mueller. And then tomorrow he's going to have the opportunity to once again try to set the narrative by putting out his version of what's in there and to downplay anything that's negative toward the president. And the president then will have opportunities to make comments. And then they'll give the report to the public and the public's representatives. This is the opposite of a Saturday Night Live massacre, when then noble public officials stood up to a corrupt president to support and protect the law, justice. Today we have men who are standing for the president to obstruct justice. It is just the opposite of a Saturday Night Live massacre.
Really? Okay. That's Congressman Steve Cohen. And this is just an interesting exercise. Have you ever been around someone who, there are two things, I think, people who willfully lie and twist things, and sometimes they are so good that you just leave yourself scratching your head saying, I don't even know where to begin. Maybe it's a spouse or a family member, someone who is just such a great lie. Maybe it's a child who is able to, you know, get out of trouble because they know how to spin things. And that's a lot of what we see happening here. The other part of it is just the human tendency to lock into a position or a view of things. We'll say specifically about a view of people, like you don't like someone and you've heard lots of really bad things about them and you're just certain that these things are true and you don't like them. And then something happens that they do good and your response is generally not to say, yeah, you know what? I must have been wrong. I'm beginning to see it differently. No, I think a lot of times people just start, yeah, but he did that because, that only happened because he must have thought that, you know, fill in the blank. I can't give a name to that, but that part of human nature is what we see happening here. Because that whole thing about this being another Saturday Night Massacre, that's reference to what Richard Nixon did when he fired his prosecutors on a famous Saturday night tirade because they were getting close to what happened with Watergate. And so that was termed the Saturday Night Massacre. And of course, that's based on a mob scene that happened, which I'm not going to go that far back, but that's the idea. Well, this, you know, Bob Barr issues a 4-page report on the Mueller report, which was released, what, two weeks ago, something like that, not released to us. It was released to the Attorney General, which is the order of things, by the way. The report was for the Attorney General, commissioned by the Justice Department. And so Bob Barr somehow is corrupt because he's the Attorney General and he read it. And, of course, this is all conspiracy, according to Steve Cohen. Bob Barr spun the thing, but, of course, we know that Bob Barr actually read the real language out of the report. In his 4-page memo, he quoted their language, but that there was no collusion whatsoever between the Trump campaign and the Russians. But still, that's not good enough. That can't possibly be true. And so now they are calling Bob Barr a liar. Now they're going after him. And that reminds me of a clip that I want you to hear. Joe DeGeneva and Victoria Tensing are husband and wife. I know you're probably more familiar with Joe's name than you are Victoria. Victoria was a bulldog during the Clinton years, and I know them both pretty well. They were on with Crystal. She has a last name, but her last name's not here. Crystal something. She is with The Hill magazine, and they were doing an interview. And so I want you to hear this exchange because tempers are flaring on both sides. Let's listen.
Bill Barr said he asked Mueller 3 separate times, did you base your decision on the fact that a sitting president cannot be indicted? And Mueller said, I did not. 3 separate times. I don't know what's in that report.
What the report says.
I taught English before I went to law school. I'd like to kind of take that sentence and parse it because it didn't make sense to me. But I can just tell you this. The decision was not based on that.
It literally says, here are the considerations that guided our obstruction of justice
then
investigation.
Is Mueller a liar?
Well, I'm asking if Barr is a liar is really the question here, because it says very clearly here,
you know,
that one of the considerations
Mueller should have said, I would have brought charges because there's evidence, but I can't bring charges.
That's exactly what he should have done. So let me just say something right now about what you just said. Don't you dare suggest that Bill Barr is a liar. I've known him for 30 years. He's one of the finest lawyers this country has ever produced. He came back out of retirement to serve this country. There's not one shred of evidence that anything he said either the other day or now or today was a lie. Don't ever say that in front of me about Bill Barr. You have no evidence that he lied, and you know it.
But I'm telling you,
you said he may have lied.
What I'm telling you is that what he said this today in the press conference is inconsistent with what's in the report.
That's not a lie.
That's okay, fine.
It's not fine. You're on national television calling the Attorney General a liar.
I didn't say that.
You suggested it very strongly.
All right, I think we're done here.
I think we are.
Thanks for joining us.
Good.
Yeah, it's funny. That Crystal Ball is her name. And if you watch the clip, man, she is so smug. It's just, you know, isn't it something? Isn't it something? It's people don't want truth. They just don't want truth. So the report, it comes out, and now everyone's after Bill Barr, at least the left is after Bill Barr. Suddenly, he's a villain. He was confirmed through the Senate, I think 90-something votes to confirm Bill Barr. Because he's known in Washington, he'd served for a long time, and you recall, I was worried about him. I thought he was a bureaucrat. I didn't know anything personal about him. It's just from all appearances, he'd been there too long, and I did not trust him to really get out of that swamp and do the right thing. And yet I've been proven wrong on this, that's for sure. So Bill Barr comes out, he makes a statement, and you hear now how he's being attacked. So, but it doesn't end with that. In phase two or part two of this report, that's when they lay out 10 different places, 10 different scenarios which the president may have obstructed. And interestingly enough, it's nothing that we don't know. I think we've heard just about everything in there. They lay out the thing about Flynn, where he suggests that, could you go easy on Flynn? He's a good guy. Go easy on Flynn. That's where he might have obstructed justice, so say they. On that Trump Tower meeting, the president edited the notes on that meeting before they went public. And, of course, they tried to make that a collusion, and that they never mention in their report, by the way, that the Russian lawyer in that Tower meeting was hired by Fusion GPS, the same group that wrote the dossier. This was a setup for the Trump team. And Don Jr. took the bait. But he took the bait because he was called by a Russian businessman that they had done business with, that they had some familiarity with. He's kind of a talent agent of some sort. And they knew his name, and so they took his call, and he asked him if they would meet with this Russian attorney, and he told them that they might have some dirt on Hillary. Now, can I just say that even if that were true, if they had dirt on Hillary, there's nothing illegal, immoral, or fattening about getting opposition research if it's true on your opponent, no matter where the source. I mean, if you pay, I don't know what the law is, if you pay a foreign source for information, but, you know, your opponent might have done something on foreign soil. It could have been, you know, Hawaii. It could have been, what, Indonesia or something. You know, if they have some evidence that your opponent has done something criminal, then I can't think of a single statute that would make it criminal. There's nothing wrong with listening to it if you're not doing something untoward, like the Clintons did by hiring the Russians, or GPS indirectly working with the Russians, to create this phony, tabloid, dirty hit piece on President Trump. Now, that was colluding with the Russians, but I think I said that. And Fusion GPS was the one that expedited all of that using Christopher Steele. So now Fusion GPS is arranging this meeting at the Trump Tower. And then, of course, the Russian attorney shows up and she doesn't say anything about dirt on Hillary. She talks about she's trying to lobby them to reinstate them against the Magnitsky Act, which is about Russian adoption. Remember all that? But that's another case where, you know, the Mueller team thinks, you know, maybe Congress should explore this. Another one is the president wanted to fire Comey. Well, duh, I wanted him to fire Comey, too. I don't know why he ever rehired him. I would wished time and time again he would fire Comey before he ever did fire Comey. And then, of course, he wanted to fire Mueller. And that's really got them burned, because it's Mueller who's investigating the potential firing of himself. No conflict of interest, of course. When the president found out that Mueller had been appointed, they had just talked, I think, less than 24 hours before, and Bob Mueller was begging for Comey's job. Begging? Okay, I'll want to editorialize. Was rushing in to try to be hired by President Trump to be the new FBI director. I wonder why. You suppose he knew the FBI was up to their ears in nonsense and in illegal activity themselves? I'll say that. Setting up a sitting president and a candidate from the opposite party. You think maybe that's because he had retired. You know, Mueller's not young. So then his buddy Comey, really good friends, gets fired and he rushes in. He wants to be the FBI director. He's just dying to work again, I'm sure, after retirement. Might have had something to do with covering the tracks of his buddies. And then lo and behold, Comey leaks his memo to the New York Times, his private thing. And he says publicly, out of his own words, he did that so that a special prosecutor could be nominated. And then Rod Rosenstein jumps up to the plate and overnight hires guess who, or appoints guess who, Bob Mueller, who wanted to be FBI director, was turned down by the president, who is now going to be part of this investigation. He's investigating himself, and he right away hires all of these people who hate President Trump, who are partisan Democrats, who are out to get Trump one way or the other, through with Hillary Clinton's help. It's really amazing. And yet this guy, what's his name, Cohen, has the nerve to say this was a Saturday night massacre. All right, so that's part two of the report. And, of course, they don't have, they say, well, we don't have enough evidence to actually declare him guilty on obstruction, but neither can we exonerate him. Again, the Bob Mueller Comey moment. I think that's very well put, where he steps out of his place and he declares, you know, he declares he dirties Donald Trump as much as he can. And then, of course, the report hands the investigation over to Congress, basically. They lay out the reasons for impeachment without saying it. And that's why the left is jumping on impeachment. In fact, let's hear Chris Matthews jump in on this. This is clip four.
They can take the obstruction of justice part. They can take elements of the collusion part. Clearly, all this ball playing. I mean, I think the decision by the Mueller team to say you can't prosecute on a guy who takes some dirt from WikiLeaks, from Guccifer 2, and uses that as part of a propaganda campaign along the lines the Russians intended, which is to hurt Hillary and help Trump. I don't see why that's not advancing a conspiracy, but I guess that's their legal judgment. It seems to be a big difference between them reporting it for their political purposes and someone in the objective media simply saying, here's what the Russians are pushing. It seems to be two totally different stories. And Nancy Pelosi has made a political judgment that without Republican support for an impeachment exercise, she shouldn't go along with it for political reasons. In other words, if you can't make the case in a bipartisan fashion, don't make it, because it will only serve the purpose of hurting yourself politically. Now, as journalists and as commentators, we can say, you know, that's not really the right way to make a decision, because you've been saying all along that your questions about Trump and his behavior were nonpartisan. You simply want to get the truth and follow the truth. But then you can't step back and say, well, now I'm going to make a political judgment. It's not in our interest to pursue this in a partisan fashion if that's what it comes to. Well, that's not being consistent. If you're going after the truth, go all the way with the truth. And the way to get to the truth is an impeachment exercise. That's how you get the truth. That's how you get the subpoena power that will be upheld. I think Supreme Court.
You get it. You
will
get it. So that's it. The cheerleader for impeachment, Chris Matthews, and many more. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was interviewed, and this is what she had to say. This is clip eight.
You could reach in a bag and pull so many things out that are impeachable of this president. I support impeaching this president.
Two and three.
I think two would be tax fraud. Mm-hmm. And number three, there's just so much.
Okay. Let me ask
you. Like the census, I can't even, the tax bill, it's like, there's just so much.
Yeah, so you get it, you see. She was asked, the first part of that, she's asked, are you in favor of impeachment? Oh, yes, absolutely. And so on what grounds would you impeach him? Well, his taxes. These are the brilliant people leading the Democratic Party. I mean, I know that she's not in leadership, but honestly, this document exonerates the president, and yet they're going to turn it around. And I don't know if they're going to actually file for articles of impeachment. They might, guys. I know that Gerald Nadler wants to. The little slimy Gerald Nadler wants to do that, in spite of what this report says. But mostly they just want to destroy the president however they can. So they're going to keep grinding this. There's so much more to say and to play for you. So stay tuned. I want you to hear it. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines socialism as an economic system in which the means of production are owned and controlled by the state. The distribution of goods are controlled by the state. It is a system where there is no private property. A stage of society in Marxist theory transitional between capitalism and communism. American socialists put the descriptor democratic in front of socialism because they hope to persuade you to vote for the elimination of private property. Make no mistake, socialism is socialism. There is no kinder, gentler form of it.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Exposing Washington reveals the deception that plagues our nation's capital.
The mainstream media refuses to tell the truth of what's really happening.
Exposing Washington brings clarity to the news coming out of Washington, D.C.
The American people must stay informed on what our government is doing.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman brings you the inside scoop of what's happening at our nation's capital.
We must take our country back.
Each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. It's your personal, daily intelligence briefing about the challenges we face, how they're likely to affect you, and what we can do about them. You can find Secure Freedom Radio here every weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in to learn from our extraordinary experts what you need to know and will want to share. Join us for Secure Freedom Radio tonight at 11 Eastern, right here on AFR.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest went into the Most Holy Place and presented the blood of an unblemished sacrifice to God for the forgiveness of sins. How would the people know God had accepted the sacrifice and they were forgiven? They would only know when the high priest emerged from the Holy of Holies. Legend has it they tied a rope around his waist so they could drag him out in case God rejected him. Christ carried his own shed blood into the presence of the Father to seek forgiveness for our sins. How do we know God accepted Christ's sacrifice on our behalf? By his resurrection from the dead. When he emerged from the tomb on Easter morning, it was proof that God had accepted his sacrifice on our behalf, and our sins have been forgiven for time and eternity. All praise to God.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Suicide bombers in Sri Lanka took nearly 300 lives and wounded many more in coordinated attacks on churches conducting Easter Sunday services and hotels. A local and heretofore unknown jihadist group is being blamed, but such a cell would likely have needed help from other Sharia supremacists to pull off such a complex operation. The carnage among Christians worshiping on that holy day was particularly horrific and therefore impossible for the international press to ignore. Yet, followers of Jesus worldwide are being killed and otherwise terribly persecuted every day. All too often, their losses go unremarked. Worse yet, those responsible for such oppression are generally able to engage in it with impunity. In January, we started Save the Persecuted Christians as a grassroots movement to raise awareness about these crimes against humanity and hold the persecutors accountable. This is Frank Affney. Learn how you can help at SaveThePersecutedChristians.org.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I understand that, and I'm here to ask you some questions about it, sir.
Arguments made by a prosecutor.
One of your arguments has been that the obstruction of justice can't have happened because there was no underlying crime. That's what you say. You said that he was being framed and he was fighting back. Let's look at what you said, sir. Put it up on the screen.
It's kind of ridiculous to go after a man for obstruction when he was falsely accused. He was defending himself. His intent in each one of these situations, all 10 of them, is easily explained as an intent to not get framed.
But that's what you just said.
No,
but,
I said it a couple of days ago.
Okay, I understand. But that's the point you were making again. The special counsel
I'm not arguing that the special counsel is right and you're wrong. I'm simply presenting the arguments to try to get you to respond to it.
Well, yeah.
The special counsel says that what you just said is not true. Volume 2, page 157. Obstruction of justice can be motivated by a desire to protect non-criminal personal interests, to protect against investigations where underlying criminal liability falls into a gray area, or to avoid personal embarrassment. Mueller says the injury to the justice system is just as great. It doesn't matter whether there was an underlying crime. It's still obstruction.
Well, when did Mueller become God? Mueller says the injury to the justice system is still as great. There was no injury, by the way. We're talking about an inchoate crime. We're talking about something that didn't happen. There was no obstruction. Nothing was denied him. Nobody crushed cell phones like Hillary did. Nobody deleted 33,000 emails like Hillary's people did. And nobody bleached a server like Hillary did.
Yes. You know what? Okay, that's the only part of it. I want you to hear the second. Yesterday, Chris Wallace and Rudy Giuliani got into it. I was mesmerized. It was about 16 minutes. I wish I could play the whole thing for you, but let's go and listen to the rest of that.
There was no obstruction. They don't point to a single obstruction in their investigation. They went from day one to day end, and they got everything they wanted.
Well, that's not true.
Well, they're not entitled to testimony. No prosecutor is. That's not
a... That isn't what you said. You said they got everything they wanted.
Yeah, but they're not entitled to that.
Now we're going to take
The presumption of innocence, we're going to throw it out because it's Donald Trump.
You said that they got everything they wanted.
You know why he didn't testify before them? Because they were going to trap him into perjury like they did with Flynn. Think I'm a fool? I'd have been disbarred if I let him testify. There were so many indications that they wanted to trap him into perjury because they don't have a case that they were not in good faith. Here's what they did to Flynn. They call Flynn in. They go to his office. They tell him he doesn't need a lawyer.
I got a minute left, and I want to talk about.
This is worth
Trump.
More than a minute.
I want to talk about Trump.
But you have to look. You have to
I
look
understand,
at the conduct
I understand.
Of the prosecutor. They created Flynn's crime.
There was also the nature.
They had the answer that they asked him in their.
We're not talking about Flynn. We're talking
we
about the president.
We are talking about Flynn.
Here was the nature.
But you're asking me why did the president not go and stand in front of them and let them try to trap him into perjury? Because he had good lawyers and he's not a fool.
Okay.
If they were fair people, I'd have been there in a minute. What they did to Flynn said to me, they're going to try to
final
do
question.
To my client.
Here was the nature. Here was the nature.
You're treating these people as if they're fair. They're not. That is totally, it begins with he's got to prove his innocence. Then we're throwing out the Fifth Amendment. Well, how many more amendments would we like to throw out in Mueller's favor?
I just want to ask you a question. You say that they gave, you gave, the president gave.
All right. Well, that's the end of that clip. It's 16 minutes long, and if you can find it online on Fox, you should watch that. This is Kimberly Strassel in the Wall Street Journal. And her article is one of the best I read this morning. She says, by the fall of 2017, it was clear that Special Counsel Robert Mueller, as a former director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, was too conflicted to take a detached look at a Russia collusion story that had become more about FBI malfeasance than about Donald Trump. The evidence of that bias now stares at us through 448 pages of his report. And she says that by the end of Volume 1, the notion that Trump campaign engaged in some grand plot was with Russia is a joke. She says a lot more. She ends by saying, note as well what isn't in the report. It makes only passing bland reference to the genesis of so-called many of the accusations Mr. Mueller probed. The infamous dossier produced by opposition research firm Fusion GPS and paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign. How do you exonerate Mr. Page without delving into the scandalous Moscow deeds of which he was falsely accused? How do you narrate an entire section of the July 2016 Trump Tower meeting without noting that Mrs. Veselnitskaya was working alongside Fusion? How do you detail every aspect of the Papadopoulos accusations while avoiding any detail of the curious and suspect ways those accusations came back to the FBI via Australia's Alexander Downer? The report instead mostly reads as a lengthy defense of the FBI of its shaky claims about how its investigation began, of its far-fetched theories, of its procedures, even of its leadership. Anyway, it goes on and on. Kimberly's is very powerful. There are a lot of defenses that went on, but this thing I do want to stop and mention to you. Do you recall, well, first of all, this whole report is based on what the Mueller report says and says they know it's a fact that Russia was the one that leaked those DNC email, the John Podesta email, the whatever Hillary Clinton back and forths were. We never really got Hillary Clinton's email. We got John Podesta's. We got the DNC's. The Mueller report is all premised on the fact that the, not all of it, but much of it is premised on the fact that the Russians, they say, were the ones that gave WikiLeaks the email. They're the ones that hacked it. They're the ones that gave it. And remember that when that email server was hacked, the FBI, led by, at the time, by Comey, did not go into the server and investigate for themselves. They did not, because the DNC didn't want them to. They outsourced it to CrowdStrike. That's the organization that came in and examined it and declared that it was the Russians who had hacked it. It wasn't the FBI. And so you will recall we talked about this Seth Rich, who was a young DNC staffer who had access to those email, who Julian Assange indicated, well, you know what, let's do this. Let's go back to this CNN report. Maybe it's been 2 years ago. I want you to hear them set the story up. Clip 9.
I know for sure it is the Russians.
Most of official Washington believes that Russia was behind the hacking of Democratic National Committee emails, but some supporters of President Trump have been pushing an alternate theory that Seth Rich, a DNC employee, stole the emails and gave them to WikiLeaks, and for doing so, became the victim of an unsolved murder. Fox host Sean Hannity, a fervent Trump supporter, has become a driving force behind the story.
In the mysterious murder of former DNC staffer Seth Rich that could completely shatter the narrative that, in fact, WikiLeaks was working with the Russians.
In a Washington Post op-ed this week, Rich's parents called the story baseless and pleaded with people to stop using our beloved Seth's memory and legacy for their own political goals. Yesterday, the story was taken down from the Fox News website. At first, Hannity refused to retract anything, but last night, he backed down, sort of.
Out of respect for the family's wishes for now, I am not discussing this matter at this time. I am not going to stop trying to find the truth.
Kelly McBride, an expert on media ethics with the Poynter Institute, says that last part sends a message.
All right, I'm
going
to go ahead. We're going to interrupt because basically they're trying then to say that Sean's only apologizing because Fox made him, et cetera. So that's a side issue. The issue to me is the story about Seth Rich. And we did spend quite a bit of time talking about that because Seth was murdered in the middle of the night. In Washington, there was nothing stolen. He actually had, I believe he still had his phone. He had an expensive watch. And so also we explored about the whole parents thing, about them coming out. And you may recall that there were some interactions between her and them and Donna Brazile. It was a very strange story. You may also remember that Julian Assange came out and said, without saying, he seemed to indicate that Seth Rich was his source. And he kept swearing it wasn't the Russians. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. And I don't know if it was Seth Rich or not. But according to this Mueller report, see how I can put this in context. It just does seem curious to me that Julian Assange was arrested, what, last week? Very propitiously. And now he cannot speak up. I just think that's interesting. The British decided that particular night they were going to arrest him, pull him out of the embassy. He's been there for, what, 8 years, something like that. And now he's in custody and can't speak. So now the report is released, and this is what the report says. After the U.S. intelligence community publicly announced its assessment that Russia was behind the hacking operation, I have to interject there. They're talking about James Clapper and John, CIA director. That was the intelligence heads during that time who told us repeatedly it was Russia, Russia, Russia. Yeah, those really trustworthy guys, James Clapper and John Brennan. Yeah, Assange, so here's the way the Mueller report says, after the U.S. intelligence community publicly announced its assessment that Russia was behind the hacking, Assange continued to deny that the Clinton materials released by WikiLeaks had come from Russian hacking. Now, again, I'm reading from the Mueller report. According to media reports, Assange told a U.S. congressman that the DNC hack was an inside job and purported to have physical proof that Russians did not give materials to Assange. So And then it goes on to say statements about Rich implied falsely that he had been the source of the stolen DNC email. That's all they said. They didn't give any proof whatsoever. And now Assange has been silenced. I have to tell you, you call me crazy, but I'm not satisfied with that response. And I want to also mention, regardless of how the DNC Hillary/John Podesta email were made public, they were not fabricated. They were the real email. No one ever said, we never said those things. We never schemed against Bernie Sanders like that. We never had all the horrific things that came out of that, which really probably did play a big part in Hillary Clinton being defeated. Those things were true. All of those email exchanges were not made up like the dossier was made up. Well, as you can imagine, lots of people are jumping in. You have to hear at least a part of Mark Levin last night on his program. He's been terrific on this. Let's listen. Clip 15.
This is volume one of the Mueller report. Volume one. You should enjoy this. It cost you $35 million. Now, volume one of the Mueller report's 200 pages. Why do they need 200 pages and $35 million to tell us there was no collusion? There was never any collusion. This collusion issue was pushed by the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Obama administration. There are things that have been done in the last 3 years to candidate Trump, President-elect Trump, and President Trump that should not occur in the United States of America. Senior levels of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, these individuals should be charged. They're the ones who interfered with our election. Even more effectively than the Russians. They are still at it. Senior levels of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They planted a spy. That's right, a spy in the Trump administration. They lied to federal courts, not once, but four times. The FISA court, in order to get a counterintelligence warrant. And they got it. And who were they spying on? Page? It was a backdoor effort to go after the Trump campaign. You had the Hillary campaign, the Obama administration, trying to take out the Republican candidate for president of the United States under the preposterous notion that he was conspiring with Vladimir Putin. Donald Trump has never in his entire life shown a dislike for his country. He loves his country. It is the people who have set this up who despise their country and despise our election system. We hear all the time from Democrats about suppressing the vote. They not only want to suppress the vote, they want to reverse the course of history. They want to change the outcome of an election. They hate the fact that Donald Trump won in 2016. Senior level of the FBI, senior intelligence officers, the White House, the Democrats, they did everything they could to prevent Donald Trump from being president of the United States. But you decided otherwise. You elected him president of the United States. They wanted their third term of Obama. Well, they got their first term of Trump. And they are furious. This whole idea that there was collusion. You and I knew it from day one. That it was phony. Phony. But they used federal law enforcement, federal intelligence, and then they appoint a special counsel.
All right, I'm going to interrupt Mark, and actually we're going to put his whole link on our Facebook page. And you might say, well, I heard people say Mark yelling or whatever. Listen, this is a reason to be angry. If you're not angry, you're not listening, and there's something wrong. This is ridiculous. And when Rudy and Chris are laughing last night, this is serious business, and Mark is spot on when he says this has to stop. But it's not going to stop. You're going to see Congress, the Democrats railing at this, the media continuing to try to destroy this president in any way they can. It's an amazing story. Will they succeed? That's kind of up to you. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.